Good morning. Great to see you. Great atmosphere this morning, isn't it? That sense of excitement as we celebrate Easter together. Great to have some of you visiting back with us. Lovely to see you with us this morning. Well, I'm going to ask a simple question, really. In the story so far, who are you? So if I can have my PowerPoint up. Thank you. You've heard the story read. Who did you identify with? Did you identify with the donkey? Or did you identify with the disciple? So that's my question. You see, both the disciple and the donkey had a part to play in Jesus entering the city, didn't they? They played their part in Jesus entering Jerusalem. So what's the difference, apart from the fact that the donkey has longer ears? What's the difference between the donkey and the disciple? Well, the donkey was sent for, taken, given. Didn't play an active role. It went along, as far as we know, willingly enough. But it didn't really know what was going on. It just went where it was led. The disciples were also told what to do. But they had to go and find the donkey. They had to untie the donkey. They had to explain to the owners why they were taking the donkey. They put their own cloaks on the donkey and then put Jesus on the donkey. So they were actively, physically involved in the whole process. They need to know their part of the plan. They didn't understand everything that Jesus had planned, but they understood their part in it. Only later would they understand fully what Jesus was doing in entering into Jerusalem. In John chapter 12, it says this: at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written down about him, that these things had to be done to him. So later, they understood why they'd done these things, but they knew what they needed to do and their active role in the plan. So you might say, well, you know, I'd rather be the donkey, really. But God says he'd rather you were like the disciples. And he says this in Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Another translation puts it, or they will not stay near you. I love the thought that God wants to instruct us that we might stay near him. Sometimes when you're training a dog, you have it on a lead, but a really well-trained dog will stay with its nuzzle right up against your knee. It will stay with you without any lead. It just stays close, listening for its master's instructions. So does God have to lead you round like a horse or a mule in order to keep you close? Or are you actively seeking his instruction, his teaching, his counsel? He longs to guide you with his loving eye upon you. But that takes time. It takes time to be a disciple, time to come to him and pay attention to him. Well, you're here today, so I'm hoping that that's the disciple that you want to be. We'll learn more about the different sorts of disciples in the second part, at which point I'll hand back to Andy. Well done to our cast for that stunning representation of the Palm Sunday story. Well, in the second part, I identified three sets of types of disciple. And rather cunningly, they all start with C, to help us remember. And I'm going to do them sort of in reverse order of how they appear in the story. So we're called as disciples to think through what Jesus is asking of us and to give ourselves personally to the task. And in this second part of the reading, we saw three types of disciple. Firstly, there were the critics. some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They could see what the disciples were doing wrong, and they wanted Jesus to give them a good telling off. When the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. So these are the critics. If you can't find them in the picture, there they are. You can see them looking indignant. Or here's a close-up. So the critics are disciples. They would very much have seen themselves as believers in the law, in Moses, and in God. They just want to give Jesus a bit of advice about how to be king. They are fully engaged with Jesus and what he's doing. They're not like the donkey. But the critics don't know what's going on. They don't know exactly what's happening, but they do know the way that things should be done. They don't know what's happening, but they know how things should be done. They don't realize that because it's Jesus, everything's different. This is God himself among them. In our reading, the Pharisees wanted Jesus to rebuke the disciples for their joyful singing. The chief priests wanted Jesus to rebuke the children for their shouting. Both groups would still see themselves as sitting in Moses' seat, giving the teaching that Moses would give, living under God's law. But the critics didn't recognize Jesus or the reason for the joyful singing and loud shouting. They wanted things to stay as they were. To start off, they criticized the disciples, the unseemly behavior, but they end up criticizing Jesus. And it's possible for us to be like that today, to be more focused on what others are doing wrong than on what Jesus is calling us to do. To be distracted by the unseemly behavior of others, rather than just doing what Jesus has called us to do. The second group is the crowd. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd went ahead of him and followed him. And they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So they know Jesus is a prophet, but they haven't walked with him. They've walked ahead of him or behind him. They've heard about him, but they've not experienced his power in their own lives. Their lives have not been changed by the miracles that they've witnessed. They call out for salvation and healing. That's what that word means. Hosanna means savers or healers. They celebrate, but they walk ahead or behind him, not with him. In a few days, this same crowd will be calling out for Jesus' death because they don't know him like the companions. And that's my third C, the companions. The companions are those who walked with Jesus. They've walked with him towards Jerusalem. They've walked with him for 3 action-packed years. Increasingly, they've understood all this has been leading to this event, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and the things that will happen in the next few days. They've experienced his teaching. They've seen the signs, all of it pointing to this moment. So when they're on the Mount of Olives, a little way off from Jerusalem, as they look across, there's a valley in between the Mount of Olives and Jerusalem rising ahead of them. Hills, you remember those? Yeah? And valleys is what's in between hills. I have to explain this to the fen folk, you know. So they're standing on the Mount of Olives, looking across at Jerusalem rising up ahead of them. And they recognize the moment. So they, straight away, when they came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Whenever you see in Scripture things repeated like that, I take it to mean they didn't just say it twice, but they start a chant going. So they're starting this, peace in heaven, glory in the highest, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And that's how they're starting to walk into Jerusalem. They're so excited about what God's doing. But they've really got hold of the point. What Jesus is going to do is going to bring peace in heaven. And even the angels are going to glory over what Jesus is about to do. They don't understand it fully. They won't understand that until Jesus has risen from the dead. But these are those who walk with Jesus. They sense his excitement and that this is right for this moment. So from that point, they can see the temple. They can see the great wall of Jerusalem. They can sense the final confrontation that's going to bring peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So are you a companion walking with Jesus along the way, regularly meeting with him, hearing what's on his heart, knowing what he's doing, being in tune with what needs to be said, shouted, or silenced at this time? Are you part of the crowd walking ahead or behind? Or are you a critic complaining about what's going on around you but missing the point? Jesus, of course, calls us all to be disciples and companions, those who learn from him and walk with him. He calls us to do more than be led like dumb beasts, willing but unengaged. He invites you to more than dumb obedience. You know, some of the children perhaps were brought here today, whether they wanted to come or not. But he wants you to choose to come, to choose to spend time reading his word in prayer, listening to what he's saying. We can simply wait around for Jesus to use us, or we can listen to what the Spirit's saying to the church and then go, find, untie, prepare situations and people to receive Jesus. We're invited to become friends of Jesus. It's a wonderful invitation. This is what Jesus said. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You've been chosen to go about the Master's business, to know his business, and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. We've become effective in this way to the extent that we know the Father's will and remember that Jesus is King. He's not looking for advisors, he's looking for those who will bear fruit. And he's chosen you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that amazing message that you left with us, written down so that it wouldn't be forgotten, that we didn't choose you, but you chose us. Help us keep our eyes fixed upon you, to know that your loving eye is upon us, and to respond with our hearts, Lord, that we might be your people wholeheartedly, not distracted by the things around us, but focused on what you're calling us to do. We ask it, Lord, that we might give glory and honor to you and bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Amen.